Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, NFL overreaction or reality in about 20 minutes. But first, let's go off the assumption, though if you disagree with this, I definitely want to hear. If Jimmy is first and Dave Campo is last, how would you rank the rest of the head coaches Jerry has hired? And perhaps where do you think the new one will fit? Because, Mike, I got to tell you, I had a really difficult time deciding where to slot Barry Switzer. Because on the one hand, I know everybody's like, ah, he did nothing. But they did technically win a Super Bowl and go to the NFC Championship game. So I really struggled with that one.
I think it's this is a good question because he was part of the there is no more discipline. Do whatever you want. White House it up. If you don't know what that was the whorehouse in Valley Ranch for all the players. Well, and maybe other things that were white were there too. And then drugs.
No, I got it. Thanks.
And then it just was, he's part of the complete destruction of the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm not going to put him next to Jimmy because he also has a Super Bowl title because Jerry and Barry started the total destruction of a great franchise. So it's tough. It's a good question. It's tough because I would put him higher than Dave Campo, but Dave Campo didn't, you know, just show up and go, you want to do coke? Do as much coke as you want. You want to do 20 women down the street? Do 20 women. You don't want to show up to practice? I don't care. I'm barely showing up. I'm going to bring a gun on the plane too.
Yeah, that did. Yeah. By the way, and an aside, supposedly it's heating up between Ben Johnson and the Raiders. So Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, somebody that we've talked about a whole lot. Just keep an eye on that situation. All right, Corey, do you want to start these rankings off?
Yeah, sure.
This is tough.
And I totally understand that about Switzer. I will also add, and this is while he was a Cowboy, you know, had that discussion. He's 157-29-4 with Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He did something right. Now the program itself was doing, you know, it was a machine.
Oh, yeah, I think he's one of the not the best, but one of the best college coaches. He was trying there.
He was 40-24 as the Cowboys coach, and he had top three offenses every year that he was here, except for his last.
Okay.
And I guess the offense did fall off a little bit in 96, but he had fantastic offenses, fantastic defenses, which were teams built by Jimmy Johnson. Now, Jimmy Johnson then at the same time deserves the credit for GM and personnel because of the moves that he made for that time. But I will put Jimmy number one.
Do you think
surprise?
Do you think there is a consensus on Jimmy one and Campo eight?
Somebody said Gailey's last. I still have Campo. And ask Broadus, they'll say they didn't give Campo a real chance with the talent they were drafting at the time.
That's true. He does say that.
But the team just never was able to get going. So,
okay.
But I do have him eight. I have Parcells too. And I have Parcells too, because as an NFL head coach, that dude was fantastic. And entertainment-wise, there was nothing. Every day I had to hear his press conference. And I gained a lot of respect for the way that he coached football.
I'll agree with you. I agree.
I will too. I think our list is going to differ after this, but I also have Bill Parcells second.
I have McCarthy three.
I do too.
And then I have Barry Switzer four. McCarthy, for the first year that he was here,
okay,
one of the most unique, weird circumstances that COVID.
Yeah.
COVID year is just weird. And then you lose your quarterback. The last season, lose your quarterback. What happens in between? He does very well. And he wins games without his quarterback as well, oftentimes. So I thought McCarthy did an admirable job here and gained my respect while he was here in that short time period. And it's sad to me that here we are going to the ninth coach in our era as Cowboys fans, when we had Tom Landry for so long,
yeah,
and there was that stability that came along with it, and now you have this small window to make everything happen.
All right.
But I got to have McCarthy at three and Switzer four.
So you said you agree with that.
I agree with McCarthy at three.
At three. Is it odd then that I realize he's not Jimmy, he's not Landry, but is it odd that people seem really excited to get rid of the number three best coach you've had in the Jerry era?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think that this is a pretty crappy list.
Okay.
So I think this is the tough part about this. You're saying rank them, and then if I rank them third, I'm saying, well, that was a great coach. I think Jerry's pathetic at hiring coaches. And the thing is, I think he's intentionally pathetic at it.
What do you mean by that?
He knew that Bill Parcells was a good coach and could do certain things. He just doesn't. We heard Babe yesterday. He just doesn't want to go through that. And now he's, I don't know, 15 years older. I'm maybe 20 years older. Yeah, he's 20 years older. He's now in his 80s. Like, he's not going to go through somebody who he knows could be a great coach and could change this thing into something special, because he knows that he won't have a major part of it goofing off the way Jerry goofs off. So I don't know. I get it. I put Mike McCarthy at three. I think he's a solid coach. I think this is a really crappy list of coaches.
Okay. I put Mike McCarthy at three as well. And this is where I thought we would veered off. And you and I are different.
And I'm putting a dude that won a Super Bowl fourth. That's weird to me.
I put Jason Garrett at four. And that's where I thought our list would start to diverge.
Interesting. I have him pretty low.
Okay.
Can I throw this out for Jason Garrett, Barry Switzer, Dave Campo, and Chan Gailey? Nobody wanted those guys to ever coach again as a head coach. There are four people that, now I get that Jason Garrett got an offensive coordinating job and showed how bad he was at that. And they're like, this,
yeah,
it's over. Go do TV. That's how Cowboys work.
Right.
But you've hired, out of the eight guys, right, we're hiring the ninth guy.
Yeah.
And four of them, nobody ever wanted him to coach again.
Yeah.
I get that Chan Gailey coached Georgia Tech, and there was other things he did. But nobody considered these people as real NFL head coaches. This is where Mike McCarthy, I don't know, but it sounds like the Bears are really interested, yeah, in him. It sounds like the Saints are, yeah, really interested in him as of today. But, I mean, 50% of your coaches, when you let them go, nobody even wants to talk to those people.
From the 817, how is Tom Landry not number one? And then also from that number, clearly this is the Jerry era. I'm an idiot. So I appreciate that sense of commitment to everything there.
Yes.
I do have Wade after Switzer.
Okay.
He won all the Super Bowls after he left here as the head coach of other teams.
The last year here was bad. The last year was bad. And granted, the dude did not, like, he never commanded the room the way you thought, but everybody really liked him around. Like, the players seemed to really like him, but then that last year they didn't play for him.
Yeah.
But in the 3 years prior to that, they put together a pretty damn good record, and his defenses were pretty damn good too. Did you want me to keep going here?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go, keep going.
Then I got Jason Garrett.
And this is at number six?
This is number six.
Okay.
I think he had a lot of time, but I never felt like I had an era of dominance from him.
Yeah.
I always felt like I was like, whew, it was just a back and forth yo-yo with him.
See,
and I don't know if, like, I know what he wanted to build. I say this all the time. He wanted to build a Saban program. He wanted to build a Coach K program. He wanted that, and he had a vision for it. I'm not sure everybody was always on board with the vision, and I'm not sure that he ever could quite get that thing built the way he wanted to, and I don't know if he had the skins on the wall to be able to do that.
So I think this is why I have Jason Garrett higher, but I am with you, Mike. This is not a prestigious list whatsoever. I guess in my mind, he had two of the three most dominant Cowboys teams that I thought of, and that's 07, 14, and 16. I know 07 was Phillips, but in 2014 and 2016. Now, I realize the counter argument is, well, guess what? Those teams didn't get any farther than any of the other teams that failed, but I did really think with Dez Caudet and Dak and Zeke in their rookie years, I did think that those were two of the three best teams that I remember in a while.
I'm with you on that. I agree with that. Now, here's
that's
the deal
what he wanted
about,
to build. He just couldn't consistently keep it.
And Corey, I'm going to be with you on Jason Garrett and building. I do think if the Cowboys would have hired Jason Garrett as a general manager, I think that's how his brain works. I think that's where he would be best at. Like, I know Chris Young personally. I don't know Jason Garrett at all. I think Chris Young and Jason Garrett are similar. And I think if I hired Chris Young as my manager, it wouldn't go well.
Yeah.
If I hire Chris Young as, I know he's called president now, but the person kind of running baseball operations, I think Jason Garrett is a thinker. I think he can assess talent well. I think he can look at other teams on film and slowly look over it and say what the strengths and weaknesses are of other teams and his team. But you have 10 seconds to put in a play right now. That's not enough time for Jason Garrett. Mm-hmm. That screwed him up tremendously. How quick a game moved as on the sideline as a head coach. I just don't think he was great at it. But I think his qualities in football, I think he could be a great general manager. I don't think anybody's looking at him for that, and I don't think he wants to do that. But I think that's where he has his blessings and gifts would be a general manager, not as a head coach.
Yeah, and if he had his opportunity, Kevin, to discipline maybe the way he wanted to, I feel like there were a number of times.
Yep.
Mo Claiborne, I think I'll throw into that. I remember that situation. There were times where I feel like he wanted to do one thing, but the organization, he understood he had to answer all those questions first. And I think that if he could have just had gone his gut direction with it, it would have been better in a lot of situations.
I'm with you. I like that.
And then I got Chan Gailey. Now, Kevin, he was here for 2 years. I don't remember the
Made the playoffs both years.
I don't remember the Chan Gailey era.
Aikman and Emmett and those guys hated him. They thought he was a horrible coach.
I remember was if Troy Aikman hates him, I hate him.
Sure.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
To that. So that's where I put Jane Gailey. And maybe he could have been better.
To your point, it's just kind of some of the middle ones that we differ on, because I also have Jimmy Parcells McCarthy at 1, 2, 3. I also have Gailey 7th and Campo 8th. It was the middle where I went Garrett, Wade, Switzer. And I had a really difficult time figuring out Switzer because I kept bumping him lower on the list. And I'm like, man, he made it to a Super Bowl in an NFC championship game. And then I was like, yeah, but there's no reason those teams shouldn't have won both of those Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And I think that's what caught me up in lowering
him. I get that
him.
Too.
I
sure.
think Switzer, now I'll give him a compliment. I think he could have been a good head coach. I just don't think he wanted to really be a head coach in the NFL. Jerry just needed somebody to just sit there and not mess it up. And that was his job. Hey, don't mess it up. And so Barry pretty much was like, well, then I'll just stand here. Let the assistant coaches be the assistant coaches. I'm not disciplining these guys. They're adults. They're making money. Hey, you want to do what you're doing and ruin your career? I don't care. Ruin your career. Eric Williams, you want to ruin your career? Ruin your career. Like, it just, there wasn't any type of standards
yeah.
or rules or anything. He's like, I'm not going to have any rules for me. I'm not going to have any rules for my coaches. I'm just here. And that's what Jerry wanted at that time. He wanted to prove that you could actually not have a head coach and still win with the talent that they had. And they actually did prove that.
And so, that's where Kevin, yeah. looking at this list and looking at kind of where that stands, is like, does he know what greatness is when he sees it?
Yeah.
And is he willing to let greatness be that if it presents itself?
So I want to pick back up on that conversation, maybe like an hour or so. I want to kind of talk about where you think the new head coach will slot, which I know is unfair because we don't even know who the new head coach is. But I'm saying it goes more into that idea of, what is the new head coach like actually going to be allowed to do?
Hey, Kevin, knuckles real quick.
Because I didn't swear. Yeah,
that's two in a row. That's two segments in a row. Let's keep it. It's kind of like, you know, when you're going through things.
Like Logan Stankoven, got a couple goals. Maybe he got, you know, okay. get some confidence back.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That's two in a row, Kevin.
Okay, thanks, Mike. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the Expressway, where we got Mike Likes It, as well as NFL Overreaction or Reality, next right here on The Fan.
Darnold slings it, and he's picked. Intercepted by Durant.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, in this segment, we'll be giving away a 4-pack of tickets to the Dallas Open, and we got Mike Likes It coming up. But right now, we're going to do some NFL overreaction or reality. Now, Mike, you brought this up earlier in the show, and I've been thinking about this for a couple of days now. So NFL overreaction or reality, too much rest is a bad thing. So think about this for the Chiefs. Not that they shouldn't be heavy favorites over the Texans. The Chiefs haven't played a meaningful game since they beat Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. That's when they clinched the top seed. They sat most of their starters in that loss to Denver. Then they had a first round bye. So by the time they get to Kansas City, you could argue they've essentially had 23 days of rest. I get rest is good in football, but now you get into the rest rust. So my argument, or my question,
yeah.
overreaction or reality, too much rest is a bad thing.
It can be. But they've played, Corey, they've played in the Super Bowl yep. almost every year. I mean, the Cincinnati made it 1 year. Well, they played up to the Super Bowl. They played in the AFC yeah. Championship game that year. If I have it right, it was Patrick Mahomes' first year. He lost to the Patriots.
Was that the overtime game?
Yeah, by a coin flip type of deal. I don't think he got the ball in yeah. overtime. So in his career, and so all the guys that have been with him, I know that a lot of guys are not part of the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs that are still part of the 2024. But those guys have played a lot of football, more football than anybody over, let's say, the last 3 or 4 years taking out. Sure. So I do think in a case where it would have been maybe, I'm trying to think of a team that's just new on the scene this year, well, that's having a good year.
I was just going to say, Detroit's a great example. I know they were in the NFC Championship right. game last year, but they had everything to play for in the last week yes. of the season, and then they got their bye.
So I think, Corey, you can look at it multiple ways, but I'll say with them playing so much football every year for 7 years now, I think it was probably good to get this much time off.
And that, hearing Mahomes, they were talking about Travis Kelce's worst, you know, year of his career, and Mahomes like, look, great players show up in the playoffs. It, for me, when I was watching Travis Kelce this year, there were routes where I was like, he took 3 steps and turned around.
Yeah.
Didn't run. Is he saving his body?
Yeah.
He's older now and he's dealing with that. But then when it comes to, even when he's talking about the Super Bowl, sometimes it feels like the first half is a warm-up. Those guys, because they've had so much time off, they're trying to
sure.
get back into a rhythm of some sort. So I understand being out of rhythm, finding your accuracy, finding your vision on the field a little bit is difficult if you weren't to it. That's why I say if you're having that time off, if you're having a bye week, treat that week like you're preparing for a game again.
Okay.
So that you can, I mean, still give your body the rest, but have that focus in that bye week so that you won't have to catch back up the next week.
And I forget the exact number, but didn't we hear recently that Andy Reid's like 22-5 or something?
Off of that bye. Yeah,
yeah, I don't know if I have that as the exact
record. It is
record,
an excellent record, though.
So I think that they're going to be just fine. I think that they're going to win by double digits. But I do think that next week I might I'm going to still pick Kansas City, but I can definitely see Buffalo or Baltimore beating Kansas City. I can't see Houston doing it.
What do you think? This is just a quick side question because I saw these numbers and I was like, really? What do you think the look-ahead spreads are? Like, I realize the spreads will change depending on like what happens in those actual games. But if it's Buffalo at Kansas City and Baltimore at Kansas City for the AFC Championship, what do you think those spreads look like?
At most 3.5 Kansas City, but I think it'll be like a 1.5 or 2 point spread for Kansas City.
Depends on the opponent. Buffalo minus 1.5.
Buffalo would be favored?
For Kansas City. I'm sorry.
I got you.
I'm sorry. Kansas City would be favored by 1.5.
Thank you. Okay.
If it's Baltimore, the look ahead line has it as a pick 'em.
Okay. Yeah. I don't disagree. I think most people think that Buffalo and Baltimore are maybe better than Kansas City watching all of them play this year. At the same time, you're like, how can I put a spread out there? I'm not a spread maker at all, but how could you put a spread out there going, yeah, I think Kansas City's going to lose?
That's fair.
When they never do.
In these moments.
Why do I expect Mike to say I'm not a spreader at all instead of a spread maker? You did it the right thing. I just figured you'd do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
It's been a day.
My wife likes it when we're trying to find our kids on, I think it's called Find Me app or something like that. I just call it Finder. And so I'm like, I'll get on Finder and find where Jake is. Or I'll get on Finder and see where Cal's hanging out tonight.
NFL overreaction or reality? And this is the most in your feelings question
Can
I've
ask
got
you a quick
for the
question?
Day.
Yeah. Do you have that on your adult child?
I don't.
Yes. Mary Grace took it off.
What?
Well,
and I get it.
Yeah,
and my wife told
me
we should not be like she's technically an adult.
We're to the point where he's gonna mess up.
Brandon,
I know he's gonna mess up. He has messed up, but like
if he goes out of the country, I want to know where he is.
That I could see. We've given him as much information as we think we can at the moment, and like some of these things, you just have to learn yourself.
Yes,
like. That's just the way it is.
That's how we learned.
Absolutely.
Like my daughter the other day asking, how do I get this like fog off of my front windshield?
Hit the defroster. Yeah. But
it doesn't say, right? I guess you just have to look at these wavy lines.
My kid was walking out to his car with a boiling pot of water. And I was what are you doing?
God.
He said, my friend said that I can just pour it on the windshield. I said, your friend's an idiot. Don't ever listen to him. He's trying to screw you over right now.
He really was.
What you do is you lick it off.
Hey, to be fair, he'd be able to see through the window just fine after that.
So
be gone.
I can just see Avery out there trying to lick it and melt it with his tongue. And you walk out like, what are you doing? He's like, isn't this how you get this?
I heard on the radio you lick it off.
I'm fixing the window. Yeah, I know. I got you. NFL overreaction or reality? The Rams... much like the Saints before them, can be propelled by fighting for a cause bigger than football.
Okay, now, wow.
Okay, and I kind of want to talk about this because, like, the Los Angeles pro teams, Fanatics, they've already raised more than $11 million in money and merchandise for the wildfire victims. Now, I realize in the bigger picture, you're
That's awesome.
Oh, great. It's going to take a lot more than that.
Right.
You've
for sure.
seen GoFundMe. You've seen people's lives get lost. Lives get ruined. So I'm just throwing it out there. The Rams could follow the path of the Saints and be pushed a little bit by something that's bigger than just football.
I don't know. Because what they were already doing...
Have any players lost their home?
I don't know.
I know Reddick. I know this is a different deal, but I know it was a big deal that like Wemby and I think it's Chris Paul did the jerseys for Reddick because and his kids because their house had just burned down.
Okay.
But that's a good question. I'll check on that.
I don't know because the Rams were already on track. Like they were doing well before all of this.
Sure.
Now this is an additional thing. If I'm McVay, I'm using it.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm the PR department for the Rams, I'm using it. I'm definitely applying it. Every time McVay gets on the podium, he says something about that. Every time one of the players, they mention that. Hey, this. And so maybe it's not like something in the locker room that they all like, what was it? Pat Riley put a swimming pool and a blanket over it and everybody knew it was inside. And maybe it's not one of those things, but maybe it is one of those things that they start to talk about it, and then it speaks itself into existence. Like, that's a possibility for sure.
All right, because, I mean, logically, they'll be underdogs probably in every game they have remaining. Like, I know there could be upsets, but you would think they go play the Lions, they'll be underdogs. They make the Super Bowl underdog.
I also am not living there. Those guys are living there in it, so every day it's on their minds. Every day it's got to be something that they're going through that they do think about to overcome.
I don't know. I think the Rams are going to be able to upset the Eagles.
You have the Rams second right now in your NFC hierarchy, right?
Yeah. I think whoever wins the Rams or the Eagles, whoever wins that game goes to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you might have do you think the Rams are one in your hierarchy?
Remember when I said I might do something stupid here and we let you do I was like, I might stupidly put the Rams at one.
Wow. Okay. I like it.
I'm going to be, look, they'll probably lose by 3 touchdowns and everybody like, that's why you're a moron. I'm like, there's way more reasons why I'm a moron.
That's true.
Yeah.
Huh. That's a good counterpoint. The NFL overreaction or reality.
That was supportive.
That is good.
I agree.
You like the old playoff format with 4 wild card games and each conference getting 2 byes. I know a lot of people complain this weekend.
The baseball.
There's a lot of blowouts and stuff football. Like that. Okay.
I like more football.
I was going to say blowoffs. Relax.
I want more.
Well, I don't know what's happening today with you.
That's fair.
I want more baseball playoffs. I like more playoffs. I know some people don't, but I like it. Give me more of it because it gives me something that I can get excited for that day.
So you like the 6
even if it doesn't
games.
Turn out, I get excited before the game.
Okay, so you like the 6 as opposed to the 4.
Give me more.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It's football is such a short schedule. I get that it's a long season because you're only playing 1 game a week with a bye. So I get the season is long, but you're only playing 17 games. To have 14 teams in the playoffs, I'm fine with it. Obviously, you know, you look at the last teams to make it. Denver made it, and then why am I drawing a blank on? Was it? Oh, it was
Tampa?
Washington. No, because Tampa won the – that's the thing is you'll have way worse division winners. That's why you said they're going to reevaluate
the Chargers,
the home field advantage stuff. So,
NFL overreaction or reality, and this kind of – since you were just talking about the Rams, the Eagles' passing game can't get them any farther. Now, I realize they've won 13 of 14. The Eagles didn't throw the ball great in the game against Green Bay. Jalen Hurts is coming back from a concussion a couple of weeks ago. A.J. Brown is still nursing his knee injury. Their passing game is not clicking at a time when you don't need everything clicking, but it feels like you probably need everything clicking.
I agree with you on that. It does. Him and A.J. Brown really don't look like they're clicking together perfectly. Smith and him seemed to, late in the season, they seemed comfortable. Yeah. But that is playoff time. What did I show you? What I've shown you all year, and what did I show you
the rushers
this week?
That are making a bigger.
If your
difference,
running game is productive, you give yourself a better opportunity, and you can strike with big plays. So, what is the thing that Troy Aikman said the other day on air? When in these big games, Jimmy Johnson used to always say, "It's not who has the most big plays; it's who has the least dumb bad plays."
And the Cowboys aren't a coveted job,
and that too. And when you're running the ball, it lends itself to more opportunity for less bad plays. When you put the ball up in the air, more opportunity for bad things, but opportunity for big plays. The way they run the football sets up for bigger plays whenever Dallas Goedert snatches one out of the air and stuff like that. So I think they're going to be fine.
I mean, you might just like the matchup.
I forget.
It's the Eagles and they're going up against the Rams. So I was going to say, maybe you just think the Eagles aren't going any further because of the Rams as opposed to their own passing deficiencies.
Yeah, I was shocked at how the Eagles didn't really have much of an offense when I know that they have great offensive weapons. Is that like I know how great A.J. Brown is and Devontae Smith and obviously Barkley, arguably the best running back in the NFL. Obviously him and Derrick Henry are in that's the conversation to have. But I just was like, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Jalen Hurts, but he's well exceeded my expectations of what I thought he was at OU/Alabama. Yeah. I think
he's
the
not
Rams
a prolific passer.
Going.
That's fair.
What was that last part?
I just think the Rams have something going. That they look like that team that's going to shut. Like, who's going to be the surprise? I thought it was the Rams. I don't know. With about four or five games left in the regular season, was going to be the team, if they could get in, was going to make a run.
Yeah, I mean, look. Keep in mind, the Rams were 1-4, so they closed out the season 9-3, and you could make a pretty strong argument 9-2 because that Seattle game did not hold the same weight for them. So they have absolutely been on a roll. All right, I'm going to go with somebody who's not in the playoffs anymore. NFL overreaction or reality? You are still bullish on Jordan Love and the Packers. Jordan Love is coming off a terrible playoff game, awful passer rating, the turnovers, everything that goes with it. But we're getting to the point in the career, and this happens for every single human, where you go from, man, that's a nice young player, to where are my results?
I'm not bullish on them, and I think that they need to be a little more patient within the game because it seems like they want to get it all on one play every time. And I understand
that.
I
can see that.
Sometimes some opponents aren't going to let you. And whenever you have the three interceptions like you did, that's going to be the root of it, is because you were impatient trying to get it all at one play when it's the entire four quarters that's going to get you there.
I think that this can go with Tony Romo. It can go with Brett Favre. It can go with different people. We've heard it from different people. Let's use Broadus as a major example. When you have a Jordan Love quarterback, a very talented quarterback, who struggles with risk reward in his head.
Yeah.
Give him the first, you know how you script plays? Give him the five most simplest passes you can give him to start a game. Try to get him to a rhythm because, you know, Favre, Romo here, they're going to want to try to make big. Every time the ball snapped, they think they need seven on the play. And I think Jordan Love's brain can get into that too quick into a game, and it's like, relax. And I just think you have to give them simple passes for easy completion so they feel like completing a pass is easier than it actually is in the NFL. So I look at other quarterbacks that are very methodical, and let's just put Tom Brady, the greatest ever.
Yeah.
Joe Montana, one of the greatest ever. You could argue he's the greatest ever. They didn't have this risk thing in their brain. You almost maybe at times had to force them to get more risky.
Yeah.
So they were just like, well, I'm going to Bill Walsh this thing, and I'm going to Bill Belichick this thing, and just going to make these easy passes, and then I'm not going to get really risky unless I'm down 28-3 in a Super Bowl. And so I just look at guys like Jordan Love need to have coaches, let's say like a Mike Holmgren, who can take a Brett Favre, a super talented guy, and go, I'm going to give you some really simple plays to start off. Please don't think that's how I'm going to coach the rest of the game for you, but I need to not have you throwing 20-yard passes down the middle of the field because you will overthrow it for an interception, or you will stupidly do something that really hurts us and it's going to be really tough to overcome.
Now, can I play a bit of audio for you that I think you would enjoy as part of Mike Likes It right before we start? Ooh, that?
Okay.
All right.
Is it a song?
It's not. Oh. So this is cut number 13. We talk about, like, we got the Dallas Card Show this weekend in Allen. I love them. They've been super, super helpful for Peace-a-thon. But a lot of people get caught up in the business side of this. This is a six-year-old with his family when he pulls an amazing Paul Skeens card.
Why are you crying?
Skeens, one of one.
Easy.
Literally one of one. See? Guys. I can't.
What did that come out of? This?
Yeah.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
I just.
That's great. I love that reaction.
I get it. The card will be.
It wasn't the card, right?
It wasn't the rookie debut
patch.
But
it said 1-1
on it. No, I just want to make sure people aren't thinking, all right, that one was pulled because they're playing the audio. Because that's the one where Pittsburgh's trying to give you 30 years of season tickets behind home plate and all that.
So I just, when we get caught up on what's it worth, one of the things we always throw out is collect who you love too. But that kid's six. He's with his family. He's like, I can't breathe. He's freaking out. I love it. Love it. Love it. Now we got Mike Likes It coming up in about 20 seconds. But before we get to any of that,
let's give something away.
877-881-1053. Caller number 10.
Right now.
Will win a 4-pack of tickets to see tennis's biggest stars. They're coming to Texas to compete in the Dallas Open. Caller number 10 will win a 4-pack for either February 3rd or February 4th. 877-881-1053. Caller number 10 doing this giveaway all week long. And now Mike likes it.
Well, I was going to segue into something else, but I'll just stick on cards for a second. And what you said is really cool to see a 6-year-old, at least here. I have not seen
these. It's tough in the video, but you see the back of his head.
Yeah.
But he is flipping out.
I will be Saturday. I'm going to be at FanFest.
Nice.
From 10 to 10:30, I'll be interviewing Chris Young on the main stage. So we're going to have a conversation.
Hard-hitting questions?
Are you nervous?
I don't think hard-hitting. I've been thinking about it a lot. You know what I'm thinking about? Because obviously you lead this show. I'm going to be leading that is how short or how long 30 minutes can be.
For sure.
Is that so?
There are times when I'm like, I wish we had more time.
It depends on the person.
I want to feed off of Chris Young. I obviously have like 2 to 4 questions that I know I want to get to. But then I want to work off of those and just see where we're going to go. The thing is when you plan like that, you might look at the clock and go, oh, I got 10 minutes left and I don't know where else to go, you know? And so, but I don't want it to be. Boy, last year you said you were embarrassed. Like, that's a fact that he said that.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Everybody's there getting excited about this upcoming season. So there will be like a few questions that I'll ask. Hey, just an update because he's one of my favorite players. How's Evan Carter doing? Is he looking like he's going to be a full go when, you know, the players report to spring training? Stuff like that. And then we can work off of Evan Carter and... Hey, I know that nothing's perfect, but where do you see him and Leody Taveras in 2025?
Ask him how he thinks Bochy does on our weekly interview with him. And just ask a lot of questions.
Oh, and if he always listens?
Yeah.
That would be a fun question.
Chris Young, do you take a load off at 12:40 every day?
I don't know if I'm going to do that in front of maybe there'll be kids there, but at 2 to 2:45 at FanFest, I'm going to be with Josh Young, and we'll be opening packs of cards.
That's awesome.
So like it's going to be more of not an interview about Josh Young, like, hey, Josh, this and that. Yes, I can mix those in, but we're going to be talking about cards, his card collection, what he likes opening. He has a whole YouTube where he opens up 2011 Tops with Mike Trout. That's his rookie year. So I'm just going to be asking him about who else collects on the team. How do you guys collect? Because I'll just show when you say buy what you like.
Yes.
Okay. It is very tough to people do make money in cards. It's not easy.
That's
recently
true.
I've bought an Evan Carter card. I bought some Josh Young rookie cards, hopefully to give away I'm hoping they get here on time, but I don't know. I bought a Wyatt Langford. I bought another Evan Carter. I bought an Adrian Beltre I really liked. I bought an Evan Carter. I bought a Marcus Semien. I bought a Troy Aikman. I bought a Corey Seager. I bought a Wyatt Langford. I bought a Adolis Garcia. So if you're seeing what I'm buying, I'm not going, oh, I got to buy this. This is going to make a lot of money.
Stuff that you like.
Stuff that I like. Yeah. So if it does go down in price or if it becomes worthless, it's like I bought them because I like that player.
Yeah.
I do at times buy players that I don't care about. And I'm going to tell you, most of the time I regret it because I don't have a connection to it at all. Let's just say I'm just going to give you a player I don't care too much about, but I get he's awesome. Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't really have a strong connection. It's not like my kids love him to death. Like Francisco Lindor, my 16-year-old, loves him and always will. And he treated my kids awesome back in 2019 before a game getting ready for Cleveland versus Texas. So there are certain players where I'll look at Lindor cards, but I usually buy cards based off of, not always, but based off of, I just really like this person or I like the way they play and I enjoy it. So there's a connection with that card. In fact, I want to get rid of maybe a lot of cards where I'm just like, I just don't feel a connection to this player or a connection to this card. Now, next, Mike likes it. Guys, I would like to say I did it, but I really will give all the credit to my wife, or at least most of it. Today, we celebrate 25 years of marriage.
Wow.
Congratulations.
So today is our 25th wedding anniversary. Like, even today.
That's awesome.
We're doing marriage counseling or marriage therapy, and it's inconsistent because it's just tough with our schedules to do it. But it is not easy to be married for 25 years to Mike Bassick.
That's true. That's
it is very easy to be married to Sue Myers. Her name, last name's Bassick. She had to take it. I demanded it. No, just kidding.
That was where it started.
And you wonder why they... No.
But, you know, I'm not going to cuss like Kevin.
Right.
That's, I know, weird. We're taking a load off here. But Sue's had to deal with a lot of crap for 25 years.
What do you think is the most... The is it anger? Is it honesty?
No, like, my anger.
Yeah, what is the thing that you think she's like, I've had to deal with that?
Yeah, I think that look, it's probably difficult to be married to a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons, and some people get mad at this. It is who I was at one point, and then I carry it over. My dad was a former Major League Baseball player. At our marriage, I was a professional baseball player and a Major League Baseball player. The only difference I make is a professional player is getting paid. So in the minor leagues, you're a professional. At the major leagues, yes, you still are a professional, but then it adds to the major leagues. Is that when you marry somebody like me or my father, and I would say a lot of professional athletes have this, not all, but a lot of us do. We are coached by fear. We are coached by competition. So a lot of times we want to parent by fear.
Okay.
We want to parent by competition.
Makes sense, yeah.
We want to have a lot of our relationships are who's more of the man in this relationship. Even in a way, I get it. You know, being married to a woman, I know my wife's not a man, but that there are times where I'm not meaning to. But there is a part where it's like, well, who can be the more, I guess I'm trying to use the right words here. And this
more dominant, alpha.
Those are great, because I was going to use the word intimidating. And I'm not saying I'm trying to be intimidating to my wife. But at times if we get into confrontations where there's a definite difference in parenting or how I'm coaching / parenting. Right. So I think that it can be very tough for a woman to be married to any man, but to be married to a particular man where their whole life has been about competition and who's the bigger man.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen definitely. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen in a military household, but I know in a professional baseball, or I'm going to assume basketball or football or hockey household, that there can be a lot of where the way that I was brought up and then the way that my coaches, like, you know, the way you're, I kept getting coached. Like, let's say you played high school baseball and football at Bryan Adams, but that stopped when you were 18, 19 years old. That was over. But then I got from my coaches, you know, like from Kevin today.
Yeah, and exactly.
I'm making fun of you, but also, like, you know, hey, you F and C, you know, figure it the F out or I'm going to replace you, you know, and flipping tables. And then guys, like, there's no way at other jobs, most jobs, obviously military. If you're a lawyer, you're not going to find two 25-year-old lawyers throwing punches at each other and they're on the same team.
Yeah.
Maybe a lawyer would say, oh, no. But, like, I think it can be very tough. I'm very happy that my wife has stuck with me for 25 years. Hopefully she does it for another 25 years. But I can be tough to be around. The person I get most tired of isn't Sue. I get most tired of me. So
yeah,
I think that, no, I'm not saying there can be in another relationship, there can be where the man has put up with a whole bunch from the woman, but that's not the case in our relationship. Yes, there's been times where Sue has disappointed me or Sue has let me down, but I would say it's, I don't know, 10-1. If I was giving the how many times has she let me down versus the times that I've let her down. And guess what? If you're not married and you're thinking about getting married, I do think marriage is unbelievable. Thank God that I, you know, I do believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Thank God that God created a spouse for me in Sue that could put up with a lot of me. And it is very tough. but is one of the most rewarding, if not the most rewarding thing in my life. And then the other one would be being a parent, because guess what? That's one of the toughest, if not the toughest things. Yeah. You guys can talk about doing that. And obviously Kevin's had a different experience with being a parent and is now having another experience with being a parent. So it can be a tough road, but we have made it 25 years today. So it's really easy to remember how many years I've been married, because whatever year it is.
See, my grandparents made it over 75 years.
That's unbelievable.
And I was just talking to Adrian about it last night, and I was like, I sat down and said, I wouldn't do it any differently. How many kids we've had with her, I love that. There are things that I would do differently around it to get us into maybe a more successful position, but I've loved that part of it, being a dad. I am always curious. Whenever you mess up, or you're wrong, or you shouldn't have blown up a certain way, do you apologize? How do you, like, I'm very like, when, and this might be a different discussion, but it does take me a minute to go, okay, I need to go admit that I'm wrong, or have the conversation of, hey, look, we need to compromise on this. But we try to make sure that if we blow up, we also work together in front of the kids. And we've had very few blowups, like maybe one or two, but show them in front of them how we execute being together, how we come to the compromise. So that's something I always thought was important too.
No, I like that. And then you like lay one on me, and then your kids have to watch you kiss your wife.
Yeah. Because the kissing part, that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Is the kissing, and the kids are like,
have you taught Brandon how to kiss with your eyes open?
No. I have not.
Have you taught him how to kiss?
No.
Is there?
Did you teach your kids how to kiss?
I think everybody.
I say watch this, and then I lay one on Sue, and then I'm like, "That's how you do it, boys."
If you don't teach your kids how to kiss,
I'm just kidding.
They're gonna learn it from somebody else,
from the streets.
The streets.
Okay. But it feels like that's what you're saying. They're gonna learn it on the streets.
I know we gotta go, but it was interesting talking about apologizing, because today in therapy. Our therapist said, maybe sometimes instead of saying, I'm sorry, start it off by saying, will you forgive me?
Great idea.
And I thought that's interesting. I never heard that before.
Idea.
That was
more
the first
likely
time.
She
was
will.
Like, will you forgive me for this instead of just saying, I'm sorry? Because sometimes you can, I'm bad at this. Sometimes I can say, I'm sorry you feel bad right now, and then start doing it. And I'm not meaning to.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just a horse ass. You know, I know you'd give the whole word here, but I'll just say horse ass apologizer. So I thought that was good advice to maybe say, when I mess up, which I do, to say, will you forgive me, instead of I'm sorry? And then explain, will you forgive me for?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
I want to dive into one candidate just a little bit for this head coaching job, who might not be a real candidate, but I want to continue Human Wednesdays by asking, have you ever had a visitation dream? We do it next in the Fan.